إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فقد وصلنا في شرح كتاب النكاح من كتاب نيل الأوطار إلى الباب 26، وهو باب العبد يتزوج بغير إذن سيده.
باب العبد يتزوج بغير إذن سيده.
قال عن جابر رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أيما عبد تزوج بغير إذن سيده
رضي الله
فهو
عنه
سد،
والعاهر هو محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم سد.
رواه أحمد وأبو داود
whomever slave marries without the permission of his master is an out.
جاء في رواية عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما: أيما عبد تزوج بغير إذن سيده فنكاحه باطل.
In another narration through Ibn Umar, this one we just went through is through Jabir ibn Abdullah. Another narration of this hadith through Ibn Umar said that the Prophet ﷺ said, whichever slave, whomever slave marries without the permission of his master, the marriage is null and not correct. The benefit of these two hadiths is that a slave is not to get married without the permission of his master. Okay, what's the rule if a slave marries without the permission of his master? Is this marriage correct?
لابد من إعادة عقد النكاح من جديد أو ينفذ العقد يعني إذا أذن السيد. فاختلف الفقهاء في ذلك كما ذكر الشارح. فالحنفية قالوا عقد العبد بغير إذن مولاه موقوف ينفذ بالإجابة. العقد موقوف يعني
أبي حنيفة
لا يكون باطلا على
الإمام أبي حنيفة،
يكون متوقفا في صحته على إذن السيد، فيرجع إلى سيد العبد إذا
said
أقر هذا النكاح.
There is up to the master at that point. The master is asked, and if he says that it is okay, then it goes through.
والإجازة لا تلحق العقود الباطلة.
Imam Shafi'i says that marriage in this case is nullified even if the master agrees or accepts it at that point, then it is nullified because it started without the permission. Imam Malik says the contract is to go through, and if the master does not accept this marriage, then this contract is nullified.
هذا ما يتعلق بهذا الباب. الباب الذي بعده باب الخيار للأمة إذا عتقت تحت عبد. باب الخيار للأمة
chapter 27
إذا عتقت تحت عبد
is the choice of a
مملوكة متزوجة بعبد.
The choice of a slave who is a woman
لا يزال عبد
if she is set free.
الشرع هنا أعطى هذه الأمة الخيار
and that woman was married
زوجها الذي لا يزال عبدا ومع
and the husband remains unfree
منه في أن يفسخ نكاحها منه طالما صارت حرة بحيث تتزوج بحر. فالشرع أعطى الأمة الخيار إذا اعتقت وزوجها لا يزال عبدا مملوكا لها الحق أن تبقى في عصمته.
So a woman in this case has the choice under Sharia, if she becomes free, then she has the choice to get out of this marriage or continue this marriage.
كلها يعني تحقيق روايات يعني متعددة لنفس القصة، قصة بليغة التي كانت أمة لعائشة رضي الله عنها. قال عن القاسم عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أن بريرة كانت تحت
عبد
فلما
أعتقتها سد
عائشة رضي الله عنها قال لها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم افتاري فإن شئت أن تمكثي تحت هذا العبد وإن شئت أن تفارقي رواه أحمد والدارقطني.
The narration and all these narrations in this chapter are about the story of Barira, who was a servant or a slave to Umm al-Mu'mineen, to Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha set her free, and before she set her free, she was married to another slave, and Aisha set her free, and the Prophet told Barira that you have the choice and you have the option to stay in this marriage or to leave this marriage.
ولو كان حرا لم يخيرها. لو كان زوجها حرا وهي أمة واعتقت وزوجها حر.
And this hadith through another narration through Urwa said that the Prophet ﷺ gave Barira the option to stay in her marriage or get out of her marriage. And Urwa adds in this narration, if her husband was not a slave, then the Prophet ﷺ would not have talked to her about this matter.
وكان عبدا لآل أبي أحمد فخيرها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال إن قربك فلا خيار لك. يعني مكنته من نفسها خلاص انتهت فرصتها للخيار، يعني معها فرصة للخيار إنها تفارقه أو تبقى معه. فإذا مكنته من نفسها معناها أنها اختارت البقاء معه، ليس لها خيار آخر. قال رواه أبو داود وهو دليل على أن الخيار على التراخي ما لم تطأ.
And the hadith through different narration عن عروة through Aisha رضي الله عنها that Barira was set free and she was married to Mughith
رضي الله عنهما. قال
Mughith was a slave
كان زوج بريرة عبدا أسودا يقال له مغيث عبدا.
That's the name of the master of Mughith.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم
gave her the option and said if you had a relationship or if you had intercourse you don't have a choice.
والله لكأني به في المدينة ونواحيها.
In other words, if she allowed him to be with her as a husband and wife,
يترضاها لتختاره.
There is no choice. It's you've already chosen.
وهو صريح ببقاء عبوديته يوم العيد. أن زوجها كان يبكي ويترجاها تختاره وتبقى في عصمته، لكنها رفضت. قال وعن إبراهيم عن الأسود عن عائشة رضي الله عنها
narration through Ibrahim
كان زوج بريرة حرا
عائشة رضي الله عنها
فلما اعتقت خيرها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فاختارت نفسها رواه الحسن. قال البخاري قول الأسود منقطع. الأسود النخعي رحمه الله من فقهاء التابعين هو يعني
The hadith was through Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, Barira's husband was free. And when she was set free, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her the option and she chose herself, meaning she chose to get out of this marriage.
رووا عنها أن زوج بريرة كان عبدا عندما خيرها النبي. فالإمام البخاري رحمه الله قال قول الأسود منقطع. ثم عائشة عمة القاسم وخالة عروة فروايتهما عنها أولى من رواية أجنبي يسمع من وراء حجاب. فإنما البخاري يقول رواية يعني قاسم وعروة عن عائشة أولى من رواية الأسود عنها. لماذا؟ لأن
the narration of
محمد بن أبي بكر الصديق
القاسم
and
the narration of عروة are both more solid and more correct narrations because they're both related to Aisha and they veered the hadith and the narration directly. One was her cousin and the other was her nephew. The last narration which is through Ibrahim is a narration through a hijab, which means through not direct through Aisha. There was a separation between Aisha and the narrator.
وكذلك ابن عباس وابن عمر والصفية بنت أبي عبيد رضي الله عنها، هؤلاء الثلاثة يعني ممن رووا نفس هذا الحديث من الصحابة قالوا إن زوج بريرة كان عبدا.
ابن عباس ابن عمر and حفصة the wife of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم القاسم and عروة all of these companions and wife of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم all of these said the hadith and mentioned in their hadith that her husband was a slave.
طيب على كل حال يعني هذه الأحاديث تفيد أن الأمة إذا اعتقت وزوجها لا يزال في العبودية
Now all these hadith, we understand from them that if a woman is married and she is a slave and her husband is a slave, and if she is set free, then she is given the choice to whether or not she wants to stay in this marriage. She has the right to choose to be out of this marriage.
وتزوج
Now, if the husband is free and was married to a slave, and the slave wife is set free,
العنت يعني كان غير قادر على الزواج بحرة، يعني لمن خشي العنت يعني خشي على نفسه الفتنة وكذا وغير قادر على الزواج بحرة وغير قادر أيضا على شراء أمة يعني يملكها، فلا هو قادر على مهر حرة يتزوجها ولا قادر على شراء أمة، يعني هو مضطر إلى الزواج بأمة. لكن الأصل أن الحر لا يتزوج بأمة، واضح؟ فلو حصل أن حرا كان متزوجا بأمة واعتقت الأمة وزوجها حر.
A free person is not supposed to be married to a slave. Now, if this free person was unable to be married, did not have enough money for a dowry, for example, or is not able to be with a free woman. And now this free man married to a slave. And now the wife, the slave, is set free. Is she given the right to stay or abandon the marriage contract? The majority of the scholars agree that that she stays in the marriage and she does not, she is not given the choice or option to abandon this marriage contract because she was not free and now she's free and her husband is free. The status of the husband did not change.
وهذا قول جمهور الفقهاء وذهب الحنفية إلى أنه يثبت الخيار ولو كان الزوج حرا وتمسكوا بتلك الرواية التي فيها أن زوج بريرة كان حرا قال وقد عرفت عدم صلاحية ذلك
إمام أبو حنيفة says that the wife is given the choice to stay or to abandon the contract.
The
majority of the scholars agree that she is not given the choice. She's married and she stays married.
قد يكون العبد متزوجا بأمة وهما مملوكين مثلا لشخص واحد وقال أعتقتكما أو أنتما حران لوجه الله
وثقة في نفس اللحظة has a man slave and a woman slave and they both are married
واعتقت الزوج عبد لا خيار وإذا اعتقت الزوج عبد ليس لها خيار طيب هنا
and they're both married in their slavery and their master sets them free.
الحافظ ابن رجب رحمه الله في كتاب القواعد يقول في المذهب روايتان لأن المقتضي والمانع اقترنا معا يعني يكون في المذهب روايتان يعني رواية أنها تخير ورواية أنها لا تخير
يعني and they're both set free instantly or in the same instant is she given the choice I mean if she was set free before he is then she has the choice to abandon the contract if they're both married, if they're both set free at the same time, does she have the right or the choice to nullify the contract?
The
majority of the scholars say it's up to them both to decide whether to stay in the marriage or not.
تمكن زوجها العدل
and the period of time that she has to make the choice is open until she decides to be with him as a wife and if she decides to be with him as a wife then there is no room for the choice she's already chosen
تخير إذا لم تختر فور عدتها يعني الفسخ النكاح فينتهي حقها
So she is given the choice instantly, as soon as she is set free, and it's open-ended. She gets to decide whenever she wants. But if she has not decided and she has a husband and wife relationship with her husband, then the choice is dropped. She's already chosen, and she stays in the marriage.
قال باب من اعتق أمة ثم تزوجها
chapter 28 chapter of when a man sets a slave free and then gets married to her.
قال عن أبي موسى رضي الله عنه
the hadith the narration is through
قال
Abu
قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
said
أيما رجل كانت عنده وليدة وليدة هنا بمعنى أمة مملوكة كانت عنده وليدة فعلمها فأحسن تعليمها وأدبها فأحسن تأديبها
and he educated
ثم أعتقها وتزوجها فله أجران
and did a great work or a great job in doing all of that. Then he sets her free and marries her. Then his reward, he has two rewards.
So he's rewarded twice. أدى حق مواليه وحق ربه
from the people of the book the people the people of the book Christian or Jewish
من أعتق أمة ثم تزوجها كان له
from the people of the book
في رواية عن أحمد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أعتق الرجل أمة ثم تزوجها
And then believed in me, he has or he's rewarded twice. And whomever man who was owned to somebody and he performed his duties to perfection, he is rewarded twice.
البناني تلميذ أنس قال له قال لأنس ما أصدقها يعني ما هو الصداق الذي أعطاه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لصفية رضي الله عنها قال نفسها أعتقها وتزوجها يعني الصداق هو إيه هو العتق يعني أعتقها
And another hadith through Anas narrated that the Prophet ﷺ set Safiya free and married her. Then married her. Thabit asked what was her dowry. He said herself. Her dowry was herself. He set her free, gave herself freedom, and married her. And in another narration, the Prophet ﷺ set Safiya free and married her, and made her dowry her freedom.
أو يلحقها بأهلها.
And in the narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam set Safiya free and gave her the choice to leave and go to her tribe and her family or to stay and marry
her. يجوز رده إلى الكفار إذا كان على دينه.
And in another narration that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم chose Safiya, the daughter of Huyay, took her to himself and gave her the choice to set her free and be his wife, or to leave and follow her family and tribe. She chose to be set free and to be the Prophet's wife. And this is narrated by Ahmad. And it is an evidence and a proof that this is a proof of the means of how the Muslims dealt with the people that they conquered or beat in battles, that they gave the choice to be sent back or to stay.
أجرين كان يعني من أهل الكتاب لم تبلغه دعوة الإسلام وبلغته دعوة نبي من الأنبياء السابقين فآمن به واتبعه، لم تبلغه دعوة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولكن بلغته دعوة نبي سابق فآمن به واتبعه، فلما بلغته دعوة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بادر إلى اتباعه.
The Sheikh is going through a part of the hadith that if a man of the people of the book believed in his prophet during his life and then heard about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم Muhammad and learned about him and decided to follow him and believe in him, then he is rewarded twice. He is rewarded for believing in the prophet of the book, Moses or Isa عليهما الصلاة والسلام. So they're rewarded for that, and then they're rewarded the second time for following the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم.
يعني هل العتق يمكن أن يعتبر صداقة أو أنه يطلب منه صداقة آخر غير العتق؟
Also in other narrations of the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said that freedom for a woman is not necessarily the dowry that she gets. If she asks for a different dowry, then she has the right for it.
قال يعني منهم سعيد بن المسيب وابراهيم النخعي وطاووس وكذا وسفيان الثوري وابو يوسف واحمد بن حنبل والشافعي ومجموعه يعني من الفقهاء، فاذا منهم يعني من اصحاب المذاهب المتبوعين يعني الشافعي واحمد وقول ابي يوسف صاحب الفقه، هؤلاء مجموعه من الفقهاء قالوا اذا اعتق امته على ان يجعل عتقها صداقها صح العقد والعتق والمهر. هؤلاء الفقهاء يعني منهم الشافعي واحمد رحمهم الله.
The majority of scholars agreed that the contract is correct if freedom was is to be the dowry for the wife, and the contract is correct in this case. and if she asks for dowry and she gets it, then she gets it and it's considered in the contract as two dowries. Imam Malik
وقال said, أبو حنيفة ومحمد إنها تستحق مهر المثل لأنها قد صارت حرة.
Imam Malik said that a woman's freedom does not qualify to be dowry. And Imam Abu Hanifa said it is not enough to give a woman her dowry as her freedom. And since she's a free woman, then she has the right for a dowry.
حديث أنس رضي الله عنه بأجوبة يعني بعضهم قال يعني اعتقها بشرط أن يتزوجها فوجب له عليها
These scholars, when going through the hadith of Anas and analyzing it, they say that the Prophet asked Safiya if she wants to marry him, if he sets her free. And that made it a condition. That is why Imam Malik and Abi Hanifa are saying that she is supposed to have a dowry and her freedom is not sufficient. For if Safiya refused, then the Prophet ﷺ would not have set her free, according to the understanding of the hadith. And there are other prophets through another narration of this hadith that the Prophet ﷺ set her free and then after that gave her dowry, gave her a dowry after he married her.
جعل عتق جويرية بنت الحارث المصطلقية صداقة. هذا الأمر تكرر أيضا ليس فقط في العقد على صفية رضي الله عنها أو في الزواج بصفية رضي الله عنها.
In a different incident
قصرت في المعركة مملوكة للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأعتقها وجعل عتقها صداقها وتزوج بها صلى الله عليه
وسلم. جويرية بنت الحارث was a slave and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم set her free and married her and made her freedom her dowry.
إن القول بهذا هو الصحيح الموافق للسنة وأقوال الصحابة والقول الصحيح الموافق للسنة وأقوال الصحابة لأن العتق شيء له قيمة يعني العتق شيء له قيمة.
And the scholars agree that this is the way of the Sunnah because setting a person free is a valuable thing, is the most valuable thing in the life of a person who is not free. It is something that every human being aspires to if they are in slavery. So the gift of freedom is the greatest gift ever. Especially when slavery at that time is slavery through war and people are treated before the coming of Islam as booty of war for whoever conquers and wins a battle or wins a war. And people are exchanged as booty of war.
قال عن جميل بن زيد قال حدثني شيخ من الأنصار ذكر أنه كانت له صحبة يقال له كعب بن زيد أو زيد بن كعب. يقول شيخ من الأنصار ذكر أنه له صحبة يعني أنه صحب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا الشيخ الأنصاري اسمه كعب بن زيد أو زيد بن كعب. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تزوج امرأة من بني غفار، من بني غفار قبيلة غفار قوم
chapter 29
تزوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم امرأة من بني
the narration
غفار
of جميل بن زيد.
فلما دخل عليها فوضع ثوبه وقعد على الفراش أبصر بكشحها بياضا، أبصر بكشحها بياضا تشحل يعني من جانب البطن وكذا، أبصر به بياضا يعني برصا يعني المرض الجلدي يعني معروف كذا، فأبصر إيه بياضا. فانحاز النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الفراش ثم قال: خذي عليك ثيابك. ولم يأخذ مما آتاها
شيئا. The hadith is through the narration of Jamil ibn Zayd, who said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم got married to a woman from Bani Ghifar, which is the tribe of that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم married a woman from the tribe of Bani Ghifar. And when he went into the bedroom,
رضي الله عنه أنه قال
he sat صلى الله عليه وسلم on the bed, and when he sat on the bed he saw a white spot on her brown skin, which is a form of a skin disorder. So when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saw that, he stood up off the bed and asked the woman to take her clothes, and the Prophet ﷺ left and did not take anything of what he offered her and gave her before he got married.
وفي لفظ قضى عمر رضي الله عنه في البرصاء والجزماء والمجنونة إذا دخل بها فرق بينهما، والصداق لها بمسيسه إياها وهو له على وليها. رواه الدارقطني. يعني المرأة تستحق الصداق وبعدين زوجها يذهب يطالب إيه الولي، يطالب الولي إذا كان ولي المرأة هو الذي خدعه.
Another hadith, the narration is through Umar. He said that whomever woman marries a man and the man finds out that this woman, for example, is insane or crazy or has a sort of a psychological disorder or a physical disease, and he was not told about that, then she keeps her dowry even if he does not touch her. She keeps her dowry, and he has the right to ask the wali for the explanation. Or the wali here is her father or her uncle or the person that marries her to him, because he has lied to the husband and did not disclose all the information. And did not tell the husband in this case the complete story about what's in the woman, and to ask him whether or not he wants to proceed with this marriage. The scholars took a benefit from this hadith, and which is, if a woman, for example, or a man, and in a marriage, if one of them goes insane, for example, or gets some kind of a disease that is like an extreme disease, then he has the right to separate.
And
like in a narration, it was said that you can leave this house of marriage and go to the house of your family and stay there until he decides, until the husband in this case decides whether or not he wants to continue in this marriage or end this separation with divorce.
كلمة الحقي لأهلك يمكن أن تكون طلاقا ويمكن أنها لا تكون طلاقا.
So the word when a husband says to his wife, you can leave this house and go to the house of your family, this can be understood as this is a divorce, a final divorce, or go to the house of your family and stay until we decide whether we're not to continue with the salah.
فمن بعده إلى أنه يفسخ النكاح بالعيوب وإن اختلفوا في تفاصيل ذلك وفي تعيين العيوب التي يفسخ بها النكاح. يقول يعني جمهور أهل العلم من الصحابة ومن بعدهم من الفقهاء يعني
a great group of
اتفقوا على مبدأ
scholars and
مشروعية
companions
فسخ النكاح بالعيوب، أن الرجل إذا تزوج امرأة وجد فيها عيوبا لم يعلموه بها قبل الزواج.
Agreed that if a man marries to a woman and he finds out things that he was not told about, like we mentioned disorders or mental problems, that he has the right to nullify this contract and walk away from this marriage. And
يطالب يعني بحقه في المهر. يطالب بحقه في المهر يعني يلغى هذا النكاح لأنه لم يكن.
And these scholars also went the next step and said that the husband has the right to ask for the dowry that he paid from the father or the uncle or the brother of the wife.
إذا لم يرغب الرجل في البقاء مع المرأة فإنه يطلقها ويثبت لها المهر في وجه حال يطلقها، إذا يعطيها المهر ولا يطالب به، ليس له الحق في فسخ النكاح، فإذا رغب في تطليقها يطلقها ويعطيها المهر.
So if he decides to proceed with divorce, then she keeps what she got from him in dowry. He does not have the right to ask for it from her. And if he wants to ask for something, he can ask it from the wali or the husband or the wife, the uncle or the father of the
bride. النساء إلا بأربعة عيوب: الجنون والجزام والبرص والداء بالفرج. الجنون والجزام والبرص والداء بالفرج. طيب ثم نقل بعد ذلك يعني قول بعض الشافعية أن المرأة ترد بكل عيب ترد به الجارية في البيع، ورجحه ابن القيم رحمه الله قال
الإمام الشافعي said that there is no limitation to misgivings. If a husband finds out any misgiving that he is not comfortable with, that he did not know about before the marriage contract was done, then he has the right to nullify this contract, regardless of limiting, like some scholars did, limiting that to mental problems, psychological problems, or major diseases. Imam Shafi'i says that there is no limitation. Whichever the husband does not feel comfortable with, if he finds out about it in his wife, then he has the right to end this contract immediately.
قال وصداق الرجل على من غره، يعني كما ذكرنا أن من غر الرجل يعني غرر به وأوهمه أن المرأة لا عيب فيها، فاكتشف الرجل أن المرأة بها مثلا عيوب بعد أن تزوج بها، فيطالب الذي غره بأن يرد إليه الصداق.
Imam Malik and Shafi'i said that whoever fooled or lied to the husband in this case are to compensate
him.
And the husband has the right to demand compensation from those who lied to him and did not or cover the truth from him about the misgivings, the physical, mental or psychological misgivings in the wife.
كيف أن الإسلام يعني غير هذه الأنكحة وأقر النكاح الشرعي بصفته المعروف. قال عن عروة أن عائشة رضي الله عنها أخبرته أن النكاح في الجاهلية كان على أربعة أنحاء، عائشة أم المؤمنين رضي الله عنها.
The narration is through Urwa that Aisha
كان
told
على أربعة أنحاء يعني أربعة أنواع.
Told him that marriage in the Jahiliyyah before Islam was of four kinds.
نكاح الناس اليوم هو
The first kind is the same type of marriage that's going on these days. A man asks for marriage a woman from her wali, which is her uncle or her dad or her brother. He offers her dowry and then he marries her.
الرجل يخطب المرأة من أوليائها فيطلب
so the first type, the first kind during the Jahiliyyah is a woman, a man goes to the wali of a woman that he likes in marriage and asks him for that, offers her the dowry and marries her.
قالت رضي الله عنها ونكاح آخر
second type,
كان الرجل يقول لامرأته
a man would say to a woman,
إذا طهرت من طمثها
if she is
أرسلي إلى فلان فاستبضعي منه
if she is an adult
يعني اطلبي منه المباضعة الجماع والمعاشرة إذا طهرت من الحيض يقول لها
إيه a man would ask
يقول لها زوجها يعني زوج المرأة يقول لها اذهبي إلى فلان
who is يعني her husband
منه أن يجامعك
after she's done with her period
زوجها ولا يمسها
he would ask her to go
حتى يتبين حملها من ذلك الرجل الذي تستبضع منه فإذا تبين حملها أصابها زوجها إذا أحب يعني إذا طهرت من الحيض
a husband will ask his wife after she's done with her period to go have sexual intercourse with a certain man and he would separate from her wait for her to get pregnant and he would stay away from her to make sure that she is pregnant from that man and when he is sure that she is when he is sure that she is pregnant from that man then he would get back with her and stay with her
and
so he would after she is pregnant from that man he would get back with her after he made sure that she is pregnant and this type is done by men who wants children of a certain characteristics he would send his wife to one of the most famous people as far as famous in courage famous in intelligence
هذا النوع الثالث يعني
third type
ونكاح آخر يجتمع الرهط دون العشرة
a group of men which is less than 10
فيدخلون على المرأة كلهم فيصيبونها
they would all go into a room where there is a woman
فيدخلون على المرأة كلهم
less than 10 would go into a room and have sex with
فإذا حملت ووضعت ومر ليال بعد أن
she gets
وضع
pregnant,
حملها أرسلت إليه
if she gets pregnant and has the baby she would send for them for those
فلم
men.
يستطع رجل منهم أن يمتنع حتى يجتمعوا عندها يعني حسب تقاليد الإنجيلية يعني لا يستطيع واحد منهم
So after she delivers the child, then all of them, according to the culture, would have to show up at her place. And she would invite them all to come in. And she would say to them, you all know what happened between us. You all know what happened between us. Here is the child, and she would choose one of them. and tell him this is your child and she will choose the one she likes and she will say this is your child so and so and she will demand that this man give the child his name and she would take him as a husband fourth type
يجتمع الناس الكثير فيدخلون على المرأة لا لا تمتنع ممن جاء.
وهن البغايا
ينصبن على أبوابهن الرايات وتكون علما والعياذ بالله تعالى.
A great number of men will go into a woman's place and she would not say no to any of them. And she would put a flag, she would put a flag on the roof of her place of living, on her house. A flag to let people know that she does not say no to anybody, and she would have sex with a great number of men. And when she has a child, all of them are gathered.
هم ايه يعني اناس لهم مهارة وخبرة في معرفة التشابه بين
They were all gathered, and among the gathering would be people who are known, who are famous in matching matching people with their not generically, but looking at somebody's like there used to be a group of people on those days that would look at the child's foot and they can tell who their father is. The Prophet had Zayd ibn Haritha at his place and his son Zayd's son Usama.
زيد أبيض وكان ابنه أسامة أسود.
زيد was white.
زيد كان أبيض.
And his son أسامة. زيد was white, extremely white. And his son أسامة was black.
رضي الله عنها الحبشية. زيد تزوج ببركة الحبشية.
Zayd's wife was from Habasha, was black. His child was Usama ibn Zayd, the great, one of the great leaders or conquerors. Zayd, Usama, who was Zayd's son, was black and Zayd was white. The Prophet walked into a room and they were both sitting there. The Prophet looked at their feet and said, the feet of Usama are the feet of Zayd. To step away from the narration of the hadith that we have, to get back to it, the woman would call everybody that she had intercourse with, and she, in the same presence there will be a group of those people who are famous for matching fathers and sons and fathers and daughters. So she would present her child, and these people would look at the foot of the child and the feet of the people around, and she would, and they will say, this is his father, and she will marry them, or she will marry him. And Aisha continues this hadith, and she said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the truth and with Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam demolished all marriage except marriage that we have these days, the days of Aisha radiallahu anha, which is what we have these days.
أنواع أخرى من النكاح أبطلها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The author here says there were different, there are other kinds of marriage that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has nullified. These marriages were during the Jahiliya days before Islam.
الأول نكاح الخدم. نكاح الخدم وهو قوله تعالى ولا متخذات أخدان. نكاح الخدم هو زي الوضع الذي يعني عليه كثير من الناس يعني هنا في الغرب وفي أمريكا. أمريكا وأوروبا وكذا، أن رجلا يصاحب امرأة أو يصادقها
one of those types is
معشرة الأزواج
when a man
أن يكون بينهم الزواج
has sex with a woman without having any contract or without having marriage known to people between them, which is basically a girlfriend.
بينهما عقد، هذا كان يسمى نكاح الخدمة.
As long as it's a secret, and when people know about it, then it's nullified. Second type is al-mut'a, marriage, and we have explained that last week. Another type of marriage during Jahiliyyah days is the exchange marriage, which is a man would say, leave your wife for me and I will leave my wife for you. This was a famous type during Jahiliyyah before Islam. Which is friends and friends or neighbors or people that know each other would agree to abandon their wives for one another and just exchange. These are small examples of how people were before Islam, intoying, playing, not having any responsibility.
قال باب من أسلم وتحته أختان أو أكثر من أربع. باب من أسلم وتحته أختان أو أكثر من أربع. شخص أسلم.
Moving to the next chapter, chapter about whomever gets married and whomever becomes a Muslim and he is married to two sisters or married to more than four.
قال أسلمت وعندي امرأتان
through الضحاك ابن
فيروز. فأمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن أطلق.
I became Muslim and I when I became Muslim I had two of my wives were sisters. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered me to divorce one of them. And in another narration, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, choose whichever one of them you want to stay with.
قال وعن الزهري عن سالم عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنه قال أسلم غيلان
narration from another hadith narration through ابن عمر said
في الجاهلية
غيلان الثقفي
became
Muslim
and
he had 10
فأمره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
and they all became Muslim with him. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered him to choose four and stay with four.
رواه أحمد وزاد أحمد في روايته فلما كان في عهد عمر طلق نساءه وقسم ماله بين بنيه.
And during the days of Khalifa Umar ibn al-Khattab
في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم طلق
This man غيلان الثقفي
يعني فيروز أو هنا غيلان فيروز اللي كان معه أختان.
غيلان during the days of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم divorced six of his wives and kept four.
فلما كان في عهد عمر رضي الله عنه
and during the days of خليفة عمر بن الخطاب felt that his days were numbers and he was feeling that he's close to death.
So
he divorced the remaining four of his wives.
يعني أراد أن يحرم نساءه من الميراث.
He divorced his four wives and divided his money among his children.
فقال إني لأظن الشيطان فيما يستيق من السمع. سمع بموتك فقذفه في نفسه ولعلك لا تنفث الا قلبك. قالوا لعل الشيطان بما يسترق من
الخلفاء. الخليفه عمر بن الخطاب فهم دوره بغداد
سمع بعض الاخبار التي يعني يكلف الله تعالى بها الملائكه أشياء يعني.
خليفة عمر said,
أمر الله تعالى
it seems to me that the devil or Shaitan found out about the closeness of your death and threw that knowledge in you and let you know about it.
فقال لعل يعني إني لأظن الشيطان فيما يسترق من السمع سمع بموته فقذفه في نفسه ولعلك لا تمكث الا
and maybe you're not going to be alive
ويم الله لتراجعن نساءك ولتراجعن مالك او لأورثهن منك. فامر عمر ايه قال يعني ويم الله وأيمن الله يعني يقسم بالله تعالى.
So خليفة عمر
عليه أن يراجع نساءه وأن يسترد إيه
swore to God, swore to Allah Almighty,
نعم
to غيلان
هي اختصار وأيمن الله وأيمن جمع يمين.
Take your wives back, take your money back from your children, and if you don't I will make sure that they inherit from you if you think that you divorce them so they won't inherit from you and you give all your inheritance to your children. So take your wives back and if you die then they inherit from you just like your children, and if you don't take them back I will make sure that they get their share of inheritance even if you refuse to take them back, and I would order that your grave be stoned just like the stone just like the grave of Abi Rigal.
على أنه كان رجعيا كان طلاقا رجعيا في الطلقة الأولى.
The scholars say
وهو يدل على أن الرجعية
in interpreting this hadith, when Umar told him to take his wives back, that means that the type of divorce is a divorce that can be taken back. It's not a final divorce. Meaning that after 90 days or between that the divorce and 90 days he can take the wife back. So the Umar ordered him to take the wives back to make sure that they get their rights and his inheritance.
قال الحديث يعني الحديث الذي معنا فيها ايه دليل على تحريم الجمع بين الاختين. تحريم الجمع بين الاختين من ضمن فوائد الحديث تحريم الجمع بين الاختين. هذا نص القران الكريم مؤكد معه
in this hadith and the same as in the Quran that it is not allowed for a man to be married to two sisters. In a narration to Umm Habiba radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Umm Habiba asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to marry her sister, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded, "I cannot. It is haram for me to marry your sister."
طيب هنا من فوائد هذه الأحاديث أنه إذا أسلم كافر وعنده أختان
another benefit of these أحاديث
أجبر على تطليق إحداهما.
If a kafir who is married before Islam to two sisters, and if he becomes a Muslim, then he is ordered to leave one of them.
دليل على أنه يحكم لعقود الكفار بالصحة وإن لم توافق الإسلام.
Another benefit of this hadith is the ones who become Muslims, the marriage contract that was done before Islam, meaning the contract is not an Islamic contract. One benefit we get from this hadith that this contract will stand.
واحدة منهما بغض النظر عن أيهما المتقدمة وأيهما المتأخرة.
So this man is given the option or the choice to keep one regardless of who's first and who's second.
أحكام شريعتنا الإسلامية كان زواجه بالثانية منهما باطلا، أما زواجه بالأولى منهما يعني على ترتيب زواجه بالأختين، وتزوج أختين إحداهما ثم الثانية، فزواجه بالأولى طبعا هو تزوج بهما في الجاهلية قبل الإسلام، فزواجه بالأولى كان موافقا لشريعته.
نعم.
وزواجه بالثانية اللي هي الأخت أختها كان زواجا باطلا حسب احكام الشريعه.
No, according to Islamic
لكن نظرا
law.
لان هذا الزواج وقع قبل ان يسلم،
if a man is married to a woman before Islam and not Islamic marriage contract and after that he marries her sister even if it's an Islamic contract it is nullified because Islamic law does respect and keeps a contract, a marriage contract even if it's not Islamic. So the first marriage is lawful and the second marriage is unlawful. If he marries the second before Islam, then he has the right to choose to keep the first or the second, regardless. Even though if he's married to her before Islam and marries the second one after he becomes Muslim, the first contract is correct and the second contract is nullified.
لا بعد إسلامه يستفصل منه، يقال له إذا كان متزوجا بأختين أيتهما تزوجتها أولا.
إمام شافعي says the husband is asked if both his wives are both sisters in the marriage before Islam he is asked which one he married first and the one he marries first is the one he keeps and the second one he marries after that is nullified because he does not have the right to combine sisters. So Imam Shafi'i sees that the first contract is stands and the second contract is nullified.
كذلك أيضا مما يتعلق يعني بأحكام أنكحة الكفار أو كذا أو لا أنكحة يعني غير المسلمين التي كانوا عليها قبل الإسلام أنه إذا أسلم يعني رجل وزوجته أنه طالما كانت هذه الزوجة ممن يحل له في الإسلام أن يبتدئ الزواج بها يعني ليست إيه أمه ولا بنته زوجته هذه ليست لا هي أمه ولا بنته ولا أخته ولا ممن يعني ولا هي ليست يعني من المحرمات
If the husband and wife become Muslims
إنما شخص يعني أسلم ومتزوج بامرأة فإننا لا نستفصل منه عن كيفية يعني هذا الزواج
If a husband and wife become Muslims and their marriage contract is before Islam, as long as she's not an aunt or a niece or a sister, as people used to do on those days who are non-Muslims, it's acceptable in different religions during Jahiliyyah before Islam. A man would marry his sister or his niece. As long as a man becomes a Muslim with his wife and she's not in that group, she's a woman that he can marry, be married to, then he's not asked about anything as far as he's not asked about if he wants to stay with her or not. Their marriage contract stands, even though it's not Islamic. The only way this un-Islamic marriage contract would be stopped or nullified is if the husband is married to a woman that he had had does not have the right to be with.
لآمرن بقبرك أن يرجم أو لآمرن أو لآمرن بقبرك أن يرجم كما رجم قبر أبي رضال.
The saying of
خليفة
عمر
هذا هو إيه أبو ثقيف يعني هو أجداد ثقيف أن غيلان هذا كان ثقافيا وأبو رغال هذا يعني واحد من
The same of خليفة عمر that I would order people to stone your grave like they stone the grave of أبي رغال
يمرون على قبري فيرجمونه بالحجارة قالوا كان من ثمود يعني قيل في سبب يعني رجل القبر هذا الرجل
أبي رغال
أنه كان من ثمود
was from the people of ثمود
وكان يعني مقيما في الحرم، فلما أهلك ثمود الذين عقروا الناقة وكذا هو هرب يعني وذهب إلى الحرم.
The camel of the prophet Saleh.
لم يلحقه الهلاك الذي لحق قومه.
أبي رغال
لأنه كان في الحرم. فأول ما
was in Mecca يعني when Allah سبحانه وتعالى when Allah سبحانه وتعالى killed the people of Thamud.
وقيل كان دليلا للحبشة حين توجهوا إلى مكة.
And Abi Rigal in other narrations was said to be the guide of the king of Ethiopia when he invaded Mecca on his elephants to demolish Al-Kaaba. So in general he's a man in that era that's known for being a cursed person. So Khalifa Umar said to this man or threatened him to have the same end as Abi Rigal to show him that what he did is very unacceptable.
من طلق زوجته في مرض الوفاة وهو مريض مرض الوفاة يعني لئلا ترث منه أنه يعاقب بعكس قصده وتورث منه ويعاقب بعكس قصده من قصد حرمانه.
And from that also a benefit the scholars the majority of the scholars agree that if a man divorces his wife before his death knowing that his death is near, if a man divorces his wife to punish her for something or to make sure that she doesn't inherit from him, that the ruling, the Islamic law ruling is that he is punished by having the opposite of what he wants happen to him, meaning that his wife or his divorcee will inherit from him after his death, despite his deed of divorce.
رد ابنته زينب على زوجها أبي العاص بن الربيع بالنكاح الأول لم يحدث
narration of this hadith is through Ibn Abbas said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم
رد ابنته زينب على أبي العاص زوجها بنكاحها الأول بعد سنتين ولم يحدث صداقة. يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كانت ابنته زينب مسلمة وهاجرت إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
His daughter Zainab, who was Muslim, left Mecca and followed her father to Medina. Her husband, Abu al-'As ibn al-Rabi' was Kafir, and he stayed in Mecca.
فانتظرت مدة هنا روايات يعني تنوعت يعني في بعض الروايات انه بعد سنتين جاء ابو العاص الربيع مسلما مهاجرا الى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
ابو العاص came to the Medina and declared his Islam and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave his daughter back to his gave his daughter back to her husband without asking for a second without asking for dowry, meaning without asking for a second marriage contract or a second marriage.
رد ابنته زينب على أبي العاص وكان إسلامها قبل إسلامه بست سنين.
In other narrations that Zainab became Muslim following her father, left her husband in Mecca and followed her father the Prophet ﷺ to Medina and after 6 years Abi al-'As, her husband left Mecca and went to Medina, declared his Islam and found the Prophet ﷺ, gave Abi al-'As his daughter back without asking for a new wedding contract or marriage contract, without asking for a new dowry or a new contract.
قال وعن ابن شهاب أنه بلغه أن ابنة الوليد بن المغيرة كانت تحت صفوان بن أمية.
Another narration through Ibn Shihab said that the daughter of Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, his daughter was married to Safwan ibn
Umayyah.
She became Muslim the day Mecca was conquered. Her husband fled.
فلم يفرق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
and left Mecca which became Muslim at that time. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم sent for him, gave him sanctity, safety, security, and promised him to be safe if he comes back. And when he came back, Al-Walid ibn Mughira
قالوا عن ابن شهاب أن أم حكيم ابنة الحارث
and he witnessed the battle of
Hunayn
and he was Kafir and his wife was Muslim. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not separate them until Safwan became Muslim.
حتى قدم اليمن.
And when he became Muslim, she went back to him and stayed with him.
ودعته إلى الإسلام فأسلم. وقدم على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فبايعه.
Different hadith
through
Ibn Shihab as well said that Umm Hakim, the daughter of Al-Harith ibn Hisham, became Muslim the day Mecca was conquered. Her husband Akrimah fled Mecca and came to Yemen.
Umm Hakim
went to Yemen,
followed her husband,
went to Yemen, offered him Islam and asked him to become a Muslim and told him about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and Islam and told him that if he would return to Medina, then he will have security and safety as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم promised her. And he went back to Mecca and witnessed the battle of Hunayn and the conquering of Al-Ta'if. After that he became Muslim and she was separated from him. When he became Muslim, she returned to her house and stayed with him. As the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, that she is not halal for him and he is not halal for her. And the saying is for kuffar. A Muslim cannot be, a Muslim woman cannot be with a kafir husband.
وتبقى إلى انتهاء مدة العدة. كانت المرأة يعني ممن تحيض فعدتها ثلاث حيضات، فتبقى إلى نهاية مدة العدة يكون النكاح موقوفا، بحيث أنه إذا أسلم قبل انقضاء عدتها فإنه يرجع إليها على نفس
العقد. So the marriage السابق. The marriage is still there but separation is what rules this relationship. And once he becomes Muslim, then the woman can resume the marriage or the marriage relationship as it was before she became Muslim or before he became Muslim.
لكن تتربص يعني وتنتظر لعله يسلم، فإذا أسلم قبل انقضاء العدة يعني يبقيان على نفس الإيه.
The scholars say that if a woman becomes Muslim and she's married to a non-Muslim, then she has the right to wait for the legal period of time, which is 3 months and 10 days, which is 100 days in Islam. She can wait for that period of time. If he does not become Muslim, then she has the right to divorce him or be away from him and never come back to him. If he doesn't become Muslim, then she has the right to either not wait for him or wait for him.
فهنا يعني جمهور الفقهاء يقولون إذا زوجها السابق
as long as he does not have any, as long as she does not have any intercourse with him until he becomes Muslim.
يعني يتزوجها كأنه خاطب جديد من الخطاب بعقد ومهر وكذا. هذا الذي عليه جمهور الفقهاء، لكن ذهب بعض الفقهاء إلى أن الزوج الثالث إذا أسلم بعد انقضاء عدة المرأة حتى لو ولو بعد سنتين أو ست سنين أو كذا أنه يرجع
so scholars
إليها على
in general say that when the separation period is done and they can resume their marriage, they do not have to have a new contract, they do not have to have a new wedding or a second wedding. As the Prophet ﷺ has done with his daughter, he did not ask for a second contract, did not ask for a second dowry. As long as his daughter wanted to wait for him, and she separated from him, she did not have any husband and wife relationship with him. She has the right to choose to wait for him to become Muslim, or to choose to end it and turn her back on the marriage contract.
ليس لها نهائي يعني تمكنه من المعاشرة فيها وكذا، يعني تعامله معاملة شخص أجنبي.
As long as she treats him as a foreign man, a man that she cannot be with, as a husband and wife can be with.
معاشرة فيها
together.
هو غير مسلم، فهذا من الأمور يعني المحرمة الذين في التحريم، يعني ليس لها أن تسمح له يعني بمعاشرة فيها وتمكنه من نفسها طالما هو غير مسلم وهي مسلمة. الباب الأخير يعني ذكر فيه حديثا نختم به إن شاء الله، قال باب المرأة تشبى وزوجها بدار الشرك.
The hadith, the narration is through Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Hunayn sent an army to Awqas, which is an area near Hunayn.
فكأن ناسا من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تحرجوا من غشيانهن من أجل أزواجهن من المشركين. إن كانت معركة في غزوة أوقاص، معركة بين جيش النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
أوقاص was a battle during the war of Hunayn.
ففي المعركة يعني صبيت بعض ال
in this battle
صبيت بعض النساء يعني جيش المشركين.
Some women from the kuffar army were taken prisoners.
خذنا أسيرات وصبين وكذا. كما هو الذي كان عليه الأمر يعني في ذلك الوقت من النساء يأخذن يعني مملوكات وكذا النساء. فبعض الصحابة تحرج يعني من معاشرة هؤلاء النساء على أساس أنهن متزوجات لأزواج من المشركين. فأنزل الله تعالى والمحصنات من النساء إلا ما ملكت أيمانكم. يعني آية كريمة فيها تحريم الإيه.
So during the battle of Awqas, a group of Muslims met the army, a group of the army of the Kuffar, and they were able to beat them, and they were able to take women prisoners from them. A group of the companions in that group did not want to, like the habit was, when you take women prisoners, then you own them. Some of the companions did not want to have any relation with these women because they knew that a group of them was married, so they did not want to have any relationship with them because they were married. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran said in the Quran, والمحصنات من النساء إلا ما ملكت أيمانكم, meaning the, you're not allowed to have sexual relationship with a married woman unless it is a married woman that you own. And own in here in this word means one that you win in battle or imprisoned in battle.
وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر يسقي ماءه ولد غيره, يعني لازم الإنسان يعاشر امرأة
يعني حامل من رجل آخر, لازم يعاشر
امرأة
having a relation
لا يسقي ماءه
with women prisoners is unlawful and is not allowed in Islam until they deliver what's in their wombs if they were pregnant. And the Prophet ﷺ also said, one does not believe in Allah and does not believe in the Day of Judgment if he has a relationship with a woman whom he imprisoned without asking her permission.
ذكر كتاب الصداق يعني ما يتعلق إيه بأحكام المهر يعني الصداق, ثم جعل كتابا آخر لأحكام يعني الوليمة وليمة يعني الزواج وما يتعلق بها وأحكام.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم here ends all nonsense that is spoken, that was spoken about after that, after the days of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he says that a man who does not take the permission of a woman that he controls destiny of, he is not allowed, he does not believe in Allah and does not believe in the Day of Judgment if he has intercourse with her without her permission. We'll stop here, and if you have any questions.
قول الله سبحانه وتعالى ولا تمسكوا بعصم الكواكب, يعني أن الرجل المؤمن لا يعني لا يبقي في عصمته امرأة كافرة إلا
مؤمن,
إلا يعني ما
أذن
الله سبحانه
does
وتعالى
not leave
الزواج
a woman with him
حل الله تعالى
unless she is somebody who is halal for him, even if she is not Muslim, and all he needs to do is ask her and invite her to Islam and explain Islam to her.
معلش مرة ثانية, المطلقة إذا كانت يعني في مطلقة إذا كانت في مرض الوفاة فإنها تستحق أن يعني معاقبة له.
A woman who is divorced in the last days of the husband, during his death, on his deathbed, if she is divorced on his deathbed, then she has the right to get her inheritance from him as if she was his wife.
نعم. بالنسبة أكون أسأل يعني كيف يجيب الجمهور على حديث زينب يعني أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ردها
إلى How does the scholars interpret what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did when he gave his daughter back to her kafir husband after he became Muslim after 6 years؟
على النكاح الأول أو كذا يعني يقولون قوله على النكاح الأول لا يمنع أن يكون يعني بصداق أو بنهر أو كذا, ويضع يكون ما ورد في بعض ألفاظه هم صححوه منها يتأولونه على أنه بعقد جديد أو بنهر جديد أو يقولون يعني
The scholars say that the first marriage is nullified because the husband insisted on staying Kafir. And if he's to become a Muslim again and they would be back together again, then they have to have a new contract, a new wedding, a new dowry.
رضي الله عنها وأن المقصود بالإسلام الهجرة وكذا بعد أن يكون المقصود بالإسلام الهجرة وليس المقصود بالإسلام لأنهم يعني تأويلات في دين الله لكن في الحقيقة يعني ظاهر الحديث كما ذكر ابن القيم رحمه الله يفيد أن الزوجة إذا أسلم ولو بعد
What's clear from the hadith is if a man who is a kafir becomes a Muslim and he chooses to go back to his wife and his wife chooses to take him, then they do not have to have a second contract. If a man is married to a woman and he divorces her or she dies, he does have the right to marry her sister, but he cannot marry them both at the same time or be married to them both at the same time.
وكما هو معلوم فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم زوج بنتيه
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم
زوج بنتيه رقية وأم كلثوم رضي الله عنهما
Married both his daughters رقية and أم كلثوم The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم married both of them to عثمان بن عفان But he married رقية and when she died he married Umm Kulthum and when she died the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said if I have a third daughter I would give her to you in marriage.
مصطلح جمهور العلماء أو جمهور الفقهاء في العادة يقصد بها ثلاثة من الأئمة الأربعة يعني أي ثلاثة من الأئمة الأربعة أبي حنيفة ومالك والشافعي وأحمد رحمهم الله تعالى إذا كان ثلاثة منهم على قول وواحد منهم له قول مخالف قول الثلاثة يقال له قول جمهور العلماء
When we say the majority of scholars, the meaning of majority of scholars is the saying of three out of the four scholars, Abi Hanifa, Malik, Ahmed, and the Shafi'i. If three of them agree on something, then we call that the majority of scholars.